JT, live in Vegas.
The autumn wind is a pirate.
Here's a flea flicker. Lynch back to Derek Carr. They're throwing for a bomb. It is caught by Amari Cooper. Touchdown! Raiders!
Blustering in from sea, with a rollicking song, he sweeps along.
I never wanted to leave the Raiders. I never thought I'd be back. But here I am, and I'm ready to get to work.
Swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head.
Intercepted by Khalil Mack! Touchdown! Raiders!
And a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country. A villain big and bold.
I'm all in.
And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold.
Our team's going to be back. You know, our team will be back, and we're going to add pieces just like we do every year.
The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
We go balls out with the Raiders.
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Oh, great to be here live at Poncho's, downtown Summerlin, Cinco de Mayo, as we kick off Cinco de Mayo celebration, the happy hour, the best in town, from 2 to 5 p.m. tonight, live entertainment, and the Raider Nation get on the road to downtown Summerlin. Raider legends in attendance already, including Reggie Kinlaw and the great Super Bowl champion teammate Rod Martin. And the head coach of the Raiders, John Gruden, will join us from Oakland in 15 minutes over the phone as we have this great opportunity today. Thanks to everybody here at Poncho's in downtown Summerlin, your spot for Cinco de Mayo. Come on out, and what we want to do today is have a Raiders remote with a lot of great guests and insiders, including the great Lincoln Kennedy. Michael Gelkin will join us from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Joe Arrigo, who's now one of the better Raider insiders right here in Las Vegas, and we'll take your phone calls at 702-876-1340. Really excited to be here. I live not too far from here, walking distance from downtown Summerlin. This is where the Vegas Golden Knights are headquartered. Their practice facility is right here, walking distance, and the future home for the Raiders is Las Vegas. They'll be here after two seasons, and I think we're going to be doing a lot more of this down the road. So come on out to Poncho's right there in downtown Summerlin. You can't miss it, right next to Dillard's, right here in the heart of it next to Trader Joe's. We'll be here from 12 until 2 on the radio, and then we'll do a Q&A with several of the Raider legends who are here, and they are here to sign autographs, meet and greet, and have a really good time, because Mr. Lawrence, who owns this establishment, also owns the Poncho's in Manhattan Beach, where it's an iconic spot for Raiders, Raider players, the Raider organization, and their fans. So this place has got jerseys, it's got a lot of swag, it's got unbelievable food and tremendous drink specials, as we are here with the mariachi band that walked in, and they know we're doing a radio show, so they'll work around us. And again, Coach John Gruden, head coach of the Silver and Black, probably in about 10 minutes, and we'll talk about that. I wanted to kick off this special remote by talking about the Vegas Golden Knights last night and what they accomplished again. A critical Game 5 in this city at T-Mobile, and it was a must-win. I don't think that the Golden Knights can advance in the playoffs if they didn't win that game last night. They needed to bring their A game. They needed to quiet down the momentum of the San Jose Sharks, and they were ready to do it early. They started out building momentum with the first goal.
Ron now goes up the wall, point shot, knocked down, rebound, score! It's James Neal for Vegas with 3 seconds to go in the first.
That was huge. Just to get the Sharks, backpedaling as the game began was critical in that contest last night. I was very impressed with the energy. You knew San Jose was going to bring their A game, but once the Golden Knights started scoring, they really poured it on.
Turn to the near wall. Lindbergh guides it out for Tuck. Right side, Eakin into the zone. Returns it for Tuck. Tip-toe! Alex Tuck! Oh, my! Second of the game for Tuck. The Knights lead it 4-0.
That was huge. A 4-0 lead in a hockey game against San Jose should be enough to win the game. But it hasn't been the case lately, and it hasn't been the case for the future Hall of Famer, Marc-Andre Fleury. With these big leads, they've been giving the leads back. And I won't put the blame on Fleury last night. I thought the defense had a couple of key breakdowns, and San Jose started storming back in the third period.
Smith bumped off the puck. It's still in the zone, and a shot from DeMello. Save. Rebound. Rattles around in front. Loose above the crease. Pop to the near side. Left side. They score! Wild scramble, and the Sharks are back within a goal.
That was huge. Right there, we got a 4-3 game, and eventually you know they're going to pull the goaltender, and we're going to be in a tough, tight spot. But at that point, and with all the analysis about when to pull a goalie, San Jose pulled their goalie a little bit sooner than expected, and the Knights were able to put the game away.
From the left corner, it's sent around the rim to the near side. DeMello works right goal line, centers off a stick, found by Marchessault. He shoots through the open net. He scores!
Incredible, incredible performance as the Golden Knights win last night by a score of 5-3, and they're one game away of clinching a spot in the Western Conference Finals. And again, I think they deserve the credit. We are the flagship station for this hockey team. I have seen nothing close to this in my career, 22-plus years on the radio, that an inaugural expansion team can come out and be this good and now have an entire city and a whole region of the country on edge here as they're one game away. Problem is, they're going to have to go up to San Jose on Sunday and try to win that game. And a lot of the experts after the game last night, Barry Melrose on ESPN, Jeremy Roenick on NBC, already giving San Jose that game, thinking that that's going to be a real hostile environment and we should get ready for Game 7 Tuesday night back at T-Mobile. I don't think you want to play in a Game 7 against an experienced team like San Jose. Got an opportunity with all the momentum to go back and close out this series in a critical Game 6. And if they do, the other really important point here, because of the other series and what's going on with Winnipeg and Nashville, that can extend out, and we could be talking about the Golden Knights having at least 4 days off, 4 to 5 days off before the Western Conference Finals. And this is a team that is built on speed. This is not a huge team. They need their legs, and they're going to need their rest. So if you want to give us a call, you want to jump in, hit us up via Twitter at JT the Brick. We're here to talk Raider football with Coach John Gruden here in a few minutes, but we want to pay service to the Vegas Golden Knights on this flagship and what that game meant. How nervous were you last night in T-Mobile when San Jose came storming back? And what concerns do you have with this team? The breakdowns in the third period with the 2-goal leads are now getting a little out of control. You have the best goaltender in all of hockey, and he needs help. And he needs a defense that can clear the puck. And he needs a defense that can get physical with under 8 minutes to go in the game. And it just seems like we're going through a rough patch here with your Vegas Golden Knights, locking down defenses and playing strong at the end of the game. But a great win, and I expect it. I had Vegas in 6 before the start of the series. I'll stay with that, but I don't have a great feeling about going into San Jose, but I think they got to win that game because once they do, the amount of time off will be the key, I believe, in the next series, depending on who it is, Nashville or Winnipeg, after what Boston and Tampa Bay is going through and that great series with Pittsburgh in the nation's capital with the Capitals. A lot of fans, already one came up to me and said, how cool would it be to see Fleury go up against Malkin and Crosby and to see Vegas go up against Pittsburgh in the Stanley Cup. When I say nobody had that, no one dreamed of that, no one thought it was possible, well, it is possible now, Vegas. Take advantage of it and get it done. Let's move back to the Raiders and what this Raider offseason has been all about. Again, as John Gruden is about to join us here in a few minutes, to me, this seems like a massive overhaul for the Silver and Black. The Raiders clearly were not happy with that roster under Jack Del Rio that went from 12 wins down to 6 wins, and then Mark Davis hired John Gruden to be the new head coach. John Gruden's been working with Reggie McKenzie to try to flip this roster. I can't recall in my 19 years with the Raiders, going on 20, a team that's had this much movement in the offseason. With all of their Tier 2 free agency before the draft, their ability to do a lot in the draft, trade in the draft, and then sign undrafted free agents. There's so many bodies. I have it printed out here in front of me. it's difficult to keep up with the new Gruden regime and how many changes they have made here in the last 2 months. And there's some good with that. The good news is that John Gruden is evaluating this roster, and he obviously wants to make changes. But the other side of that is, how long is it going to take for John Gruden to get this new roster with new players to step up and play at a high level? I was thrilled that yesterday they signed one of the best linebackers I've seen in quite some time. Derek Johnson, the linebacker from Kansas City, comes over, a veteran of 13 seasons, not in the prime of his career, but clearly a leader, someone who can set this defense and lead it. And that's something that, with Navarro Bowman, depending on what happens with his contract status, I think the Raiders needed to go out and do something special like that. So the Raiders have brought in two linebackers in the offseason and six new defensive backs via the draft and free agency. So the level of competition up in Napa and up at training camp this year is going to be insane, and I think the Raiders need that. In regards to the Raiders' schedule that approaches here sooner than later, I think the Raiders' schedule, they get a little bit of a break this year, but it jumps on them quickly as they open up on Monday Night Football at home against the Los Angeles Rams. And then on a short week, they have to go to Denver to play the Broncos at the Mile High, which is a tough place to play, even though Denver seems to be in some type of a rebuild with their new quarterback in Case Keenum in that offensive roster. I think if the Raiders can get out of the gate, they have Cleveland in the first four games. If they can get out of the gate 3-1, the silver and black will be off to the races this year. If not, then they'd have to dig out of a hole, and that schedule gets tougher and tougher. The Raiders, as they wait for this stadium to be built here in Las Vegas, will be playing again overseas. They play the London game this year against the Seattle Seahawks. In that game, the Raiders will be the home team in London, as they've been the home team in Mexico City the last couple of years. A lot of people are down on that, obviously, in Oakland. I'm not. I think it's great for the expansion of the brand of the Raiders globally. The Raiders are one of the few global brands in the NFL, and they actually move the needle overseas in London. They move the needle in Mexico City. And I think when the Raiders get out on the road and they have so many fans who are there to greet them on the road, I still believe that's a home field advantage, not Oakland and the Black Hole, not Vegas in a couple of years, but that's what happens. When you're a team on the road and you're moving, the NFL is going to make you go play on the road. So I think the Raiders will be poised for that game against Seattle. And also Derek Carr, as we get ready for this year. Derek Carr coming off the injury on Christmas Eve 2 years ago, and now how Derek Carr clearly has John Gruden to mold him and take him to the next level. This is the beginning of the prime of Derek Carr's career. Derek Carr came into this league and he played at such a high level quickly. Then he suffered a real serious injury and he came back a little bit sooner than later. And I just think that at this point in time, you have to look at Derek Carr and say this team will only go as far as this offense, and this offense will be led by Derek Carr. And this gentleman, the head coach of the Silver and Black, we welcome John Gruden. Coach, good to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, JT, thanks for having me on. How you doing?
Couldn't be better, Coach. Big Cinco de Mayo remote. We're thrilled that you're able to join us for a few minutes. I want to jump right in on offseason, free agency, the draft, the undrafted free agents. It seems like there's an enormous amount of new players coming in. This roster turnover is something that I'm sure you're really encouraged about, getting some of these young players that you wanted.
Yeah, very encouraged. And not only do we add some really good young players, we've added a lot of competition. This will be the most competitive training camp that I can remember. We've got roster battles all over the place, and our team is really working hard right now. I hope to see you at training camp. You'll see for yourself.
I'll be there up there a bunch, Coach. Coach, I want to start with the defensive tackles, P.J. Hall and especially Maurice Hurst. I thought this was a critical need for the Silver and Black. Obviously, you and Reggie McKenzie saw the same thing. You have two impact young players who can hopefully blow up the line of scrimmage, stop the run, and get to the quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt. We need an inside pass rush. When we won the Super Bowl in Tampa, everybody knows Warren Sapp was the engine that really made it happen. Paul Gunther, our defensive coordinator, comes from Cincinnati. We're running a 4-3 defense, and that three technique, the man that plays on the outside shoulder, the guard is important. He had five-time Pro Bowler Geno Atkins, and we have got to generate an inside rush, some guys that can wreak havoc. make the quarterback move laterally so guys like Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin can go to work. And we really do feel like we've added two of the top inside pass rushers in college football.
John Gruden is our guest, head coach of the Raiders. Coach, Arden Key, I think, is a critical piece in this draft in the third round. Obviously a talent that you believe has tremendous upside and dropped to you in the draft so you could take advantage of where he was.
We had to bring him in here. He, in this draft, I believe, was at the top of our board as an outside pass rusher. He's got some pass rush movement skills that are rare. We all know he's had a couple incidents off the field, but this is a young guy that is going to take advantage, I do believe, of this opportunity. We need that third rusher, JT. Eventually, Bruce Irvin, Khalil Mack, they're going to get tired. You need to bring a guy in fresh off the bench, and that'll be key right now. And I think his versatility is going to serve us well. We feel like we can move him and Khalil and Bruce around and create some problems for people.
Coach, you talked about it yesterday after practice, and you addressed the media up there in Oakland about the issues and the critics out there. Clearly, this is a player that you believe, with the right mentors, with your staff and you being a leader of this team, anyone who's had a problem in the past will turn it around now with the silver and black.
Well, we're going to give them an opportunity. We've got a great coaching staff here, guys that are outstanding leaders. We've got some real strong football character in our locker room. We just added one of the best locker room leaders in all of football yesterday in Derek Johnson. You know, guys like Khalil Mack, who we've talked about, and Bruce Irvin have already established themselves in this league, and they're going to help this young man, I think, stay in the channel of success. There's risks with everybody, and I don't know who our third-round pick was last year or the last 3 years, but we feel as good about Arden Key as we do any of those guys.
John Gruden is our guest. Coach, Garyon Connolly, you addressed that. He's close to coming back. Obi Melifonwu last year, but the haul that you've had in the offseason with Leon Hall, Rashard Melvin, Darryl Worley, this is what I needed to see. This is what fires me up, is the ability to have this level of competition in the defensive backfield coming into camp.
Well, you know, we didn't have the money, salary cap-wise, to put $100 million into a player or two, so we sprayed it around a little bit. And look, Leon Hall is a dynamic leader. This is a man that will bite you. He is a nasty football player, over 100 tackles, I think, three or four times. He understands Paul Gunther's scheme. He's got a lot of locker room presence. And he needs to show the way to Garyon Connolly. Connolly's got to step up. He's got to earn his job. He hasn't done that yet, but we expect him to. And Rashawn Melvin played extremely well. All you got to do is turn on the film last year when he guarded Antonio Brown of the Steelers. He has talent. And we're going to give Worley another opportunity. We just drafted Nick Nelson out of Wisconsin. So you said it. We've got a lot of competition. And don't forget this name, Sharice Wright. He's a guy that knows how to compete on special teams. He's going to be a hard man to get rid of.
Coach, take us behind the scenes, whatever you can tell us about trading out of 10 to 15 to get Colton Miller a 2-for-1 to get the wide receiver Martavis Bryant. I think the deep threat is the key to that draft pick and obviously getting a big body up front so Tom Cable can mold him into being an eventual Pro Bowler.
I give Reggie McKenzie a lot of credit. There were some really good players on the board that we wanted to take. You know, Derwin James was a very good safety, but we took a safety in the first round 2 years ago. We took a safety in the second round last year. You can't take a safety with a premium pick every year. Donald Penn is a 35-year-old left tackle. He's nursing a Liz Frank foot injury. He's not competing right now. We let go of our right tackle last year. One of our tackles just got suspended for the first four games of the season. We needed to address the tackle position. And Derek Carr has been hurt the last two seasons. And we liked Colton Miller a lot. We felt he would be there at 15. Reggie pulled the trigger. He moved down. He picked up a 3. He picked up a 5. And that trade not only netted us an outstanding young prospect on the blind side of Carr, but it got us a premier deep threat that we have not had here. And Oakland Raider fans, real Oakland Raider fans, are going to recognize the speed. And that fifth-round pick also helped translate into Arden Key. So I give Reggie McKenzie and his staff a lot of credit for making that trade.
Wrapping it up with John Gruden. Coach, with Derek Carr, I was there when you were working with Gannon. I saw with my own eyes when you would get off the plane and Rich would get back to the facility. You'd be in there at 4 in the morning. The demands that you put on that quarterback helped him become an MVP. Now I look at Derek Carr and his maturity and the next process in his career. He looked great so far when I saw the veteran minicamp. You saw him on the field up close. What are the keys to his development as we get into this upcoming season?
the sky's the limit with him. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to stay on the field. And that's the number one, and I think that's the only negative that I've seen in Derek Carr in the last couple seasons. He's been hit too much, and he's missed time. He can make all the throws. He's athletic. JT, I walk in my office at 5 o'clock in the morning in April, and guess who's there at 5:15? I'm not kidding you. This man comes in since the offseason program started. He is a dynamic leader. He really wants to be great. And when he breaks the huddle with Jared Cook at tight end, Marshawn Lynch, and Doug Martin at halfback, and he's got Martavis Bryant, Mari Cooper, and Jordy Nelson with a big, strong offensive line, I think I can see the excitement in his eyes. It's going to be cool.
Wrapping it up with John Gruden, the wide receiver Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson, that type of dynamic combination. I think of what the Patriots have done in the slot. I think a big wide receiver threat over the top. Coach, Amari Cooper, we talk about critics. The critics have been on him for drops and some of the inconsistent play. How do you get more out of him?
Well, he had some injuries last year. I think he got to go back to his success that he had as a rookie and as a second-year man. He's one of the few men in the history of football to have back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons to start his career. We got to quit changing coordinators. We got to quit changing head coaches. Hopefully, I can last more than a year, and we can put this system in place, and he can develop. But when you keep changing the system and changing the coach and changing the way you practice, it is really hard, not only on a quarterback, but it's hard on a young wideout, and I think that has had something to do with his setback.
Last player question. I grew up with Lawrence Taylor. He was the greatest defensive player I've ever seen. I travel around the country and watch him play. I've never seen anything like it until Khalil Mack. He's that gifted. He's that strong. He has the ability to blow up a game plan. Your relationship with Khalil Mack, I know he's going to come in. The contract will be done long term, but the type of player he is.
Well, the type of player he is, you just mentioned, he's a difference maker. He's an MVP of football. And unfortunately, I have not had a chance to sit down and meet him yet. He has been a no-show, and he's obviously going through a personal contract situation, and we're confident it'll be resolved. But in his absence, we have done everything we can to make things better around him. We've tried to improve the inside pass rush. We've tried to get some stability at linebacker with Tyre Whitehead and a veteran, Derek Johnson. We've tried to improve the secondary around him, and hopefully Arden Key can come in here and help him get a rest when he needs one. But we're excited about him returning. We certainly need him.
Coach, I'm going to let you go, but I'm looking at Rod Martin, Reggie Kinlaw. I'm looking at Napoleon McCallum. The turnout that you had for your press conference has never been seen before in this league. Leave us on this note. What does the Raider Nation mean to you, these alumni, and this whole experience coming back to Oakland?
That's the only reason I'm here, JT, and I mean that. We had an event the other night, and I got to reunite with some of the great legendary Raiders. Lester Hayes was there, and Daryl LaMonica. It was great to see Jim Plunkett again, and, of course, Willie Brown is hanging around with Ray Chester and Jim Otto. It's just a storied tradition. It takes a lot of, time to talk about how much it means to me, but we're trying to have these men rub off on our new players. There's a strong respect for our legendary tradition here.
Thank you so much, Coach. I know you have a busy day. Appreciate it. I'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, JT.
Thank you, Coach. John Gruden kicking off our Ponchos remote. How cool is that? You could tell how fired up John Gruden is. John Gruden is a master motivator, and he just motivated me. I'll tell you, I need a margarita after that. I mean, that guy fires me up, and John Gruden is going to turn this thing around here quickly with the motivation that he has and the roster. He went down the list of the defensive players, the players that he brought in here, and I think it's going to be incredible. Reggie Kinlaw is going to join us next as we kick it off. We'll talk to Rod Martin when we come back to in the next half hour. And my buddy Napoleon McCallum is here. We are at Ponchos in downtown Summerlin, the home of the Raider Nation on Cinco de Mayo. Mr. Lawrence, the owner of this property, loves the Raiders and would love you to come down for Cinco de Mayo. Great food, unbelievable drink specials. Come on out to Ponchos in downtown Summerlin.
Over and above his charisma and his competitiveness, though, he's one of the brightest offensive minds in football. And I always felt when he was my head coach, going into a game, no one was better prepared No one had a better palette of plays to call. And then again, it comes down to execution, right? So it doesn't mean that the coach can be a genius, but you still need players to execute. But I know that our players in the 2018 Oakland Raiders are going to be in a position to succeed.
That is Steve Wisniewski, one of the great Raider offensive linemen of all time. JT, back with you at Poncho's. We're in downtown Summerlin. Kick off your Cinco de Mayo right here, the home of the Raider Nation on Cinco de Mayo, is Poncho's right here all day today. Come on out and watch the Kentucky Derby. We have several Raider legends who are here to sign autographs. Mr. Lawrence really cares about the alumni of the Silver and Black, and you'll see it if you come out today. Reggie Kinlaw is a two-time Super Bowl champ for the Silver and Black, and he joins us. Reggie, thanks for coming out. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You know, we just had Coach John Gruden on, and you heard part of that interview. He made it clear it was a priority in the draft to go get defensive tackles. And when you came to the Raiders, you had an impact early, young in your career, playing on some of the greatest Raider teams of all time. What was the pressure like for you as a young player to go in there and earn a starting spot?
Well, I tell you, just being a Raider, coming out of college and playing for the Raiders was a lot of pressure, for one. I played with great guys like John Matuszak, Dave Browning, Howie Long, Bill Pakel, the late Lau Alzado.
Yes.
Coming out of University of Oklahoma, being a 12th round draft choice, that was a lot of pressure itself too. And my main concern was that, hey, I'm here to stay. And by the second year, I was the starter.
It's amazing. You're the second year starter on your way to the Super Bowl, playing at the highest level. How did you drop to the 12th round? I mean, from Miami, then to Oklahoma, to the Raiders. Was this a Mr. Davis story? Am I sensing that Al Davis was looking at film? How did they discover you?
I was undersized. I wasn't tall enough to be a defensive lineman. I was 6'2", 240 coming out of college. That's not considered your average defensive lineman. Your average defensive line back then was like 6'4", 260, 280. But basically, one of the reasons I made my stardom is because I was a little quicker and I was a little faster than most of the offensive linemen.
Reggie Kinlaw is our guest, two-time Super Bowl champion. Again, we just spoke to Coach Gruden, and he took two defensive tackles, P.J. Hall from Sam Houston State. So that's not a big-time school coming in. He took Arden Key, the defensive end. But Maurice Hurst out of Michigan had a heart issue.
Yes.
And I thought it was interesting that the Raiders brought him in. They checked him out. John Gruden's tight with Jim Harbaugh. They were on the phone, and they checked him out. This kid is a beast. So for him to drop to that point where the Raiders were able to get a guy with the 140th pick overall, you could tell that this defensive staff needed help at the defensive tackle position.
Well, what I see, we do need help. That's one of the positions in on our defensive line. Actually, the linebacker, inside linebacker,
yes,
and our corners. I don't know if these guys are Raiders going to go to a 3-4 defense.
Yeah, they are. They're on a 3-4.
So,
yeah, with Paul Gunther.
So I think that's one of the reasons he went and got some little bulk to play that nose guard position. And where you got the Irvin and
Khalil Mack
on the other side, which might turn out to be pretty good. I mean, you know, but you know, these kids coming out of college, you got to want it. You know, you want to be a starter. You want to see, when I got out of college, being a Raider, we had players like Arshell, Gene Upshaw, Cliff Brown,
Branch, all these guys.
That, you know, hey, you see the look on their face, you know, and you get to be a Raider, you got to play like a Raider. I mean, that Raider sign, that emblem, it means a lot. I mean, you know, you got to want to come in and play hard all the time.
We're wrapping it up with Reggie Kinlaw. What a player, a two-time Super Bowl champion, played in some of the biggest games for the Silver and Black. And I think you mentioned that defensive interior line position. Give us a story how brutal that was. Who's maybe the greatest Hall of Fame offensive lineman you went up against, or the toughest running back that you had to tackle and blow up at the line of scrimmage? You played against some great ones.
Well, the best offensive center that's a Hall of Fame right now is Dwight Stevenson from Miami. I mean, he was a monster. One of the hardest running backs in the league back then was Earl Campbell.
What was it like to tackle Earl Campbell in the
hall? He was a beast because I had to play against him at University of Oklahoma because Oklahoma and Texas played every year. So I learned my lesson at Oklahoma, and then I took it to the pros.
The Raiders are going to move here, and it's a delicate topic. We're in Vegas today, and obviously we're trying to build a fan base with the silver and black. Your relationship and friendship with Mark Davis, how much this has taken to actually get a team in Vegas. You see the stadium, it's coming along quickly. And how to bridge this global Raider Nation and get them to Vegas. Because, as you know, playing predominantly also in Los Angeles, there's a lot of Raider fans in L.A. who will be making that trip every weekend to Vegas.
Yeah. Well, my hat's off to Oakland, too, because, you know, I started off in Oakland. And they diehard fans in Oakland. But the Raiders need to upgrade on everything. I mean, one of the things is the stadium. You know, sometimes it's embarrassing to go to Oakland. I hate to say that. I mean, because the stadium is not up to date. But I think it's a lot of Raider-based fans out here. They're looking forward to it because I run into people all the time, and they think it's the greatest move the Raiders ever made.
Wrapping it up with Reggie Kinlaw, tell me what you're doing in your life right now. I see your former teammates are here. I know you go out on the road and represent the Raiders as an alumni all the time. What's going on in your life?
Yeah, well, I am doing a lot of things for them. We had a couple events, Goody Two Shoes. Mm-hmm. We go to a high school and give kids shoes and stuff like that. We fed the veterans.
Nice.
Yeah. We had a Play 60 for a couple of schools out
here.
So I've been doing a couple other things for the Raiders. And I'm retired. Just had a knee replacement just a while ago, 3 weeks ago. So
that's
I'm trying to recover
from that.
That's
a second knee replacement.
Yes, that's the second one.
Well, let's end on that point because the sport's always been a violent sport, and you played it at the highest level. Do you think that the league is just getting a little out of control, possibly getting rid of the kickoff, the way they're trying to, for the right reasons, make the sport more safe? What's your overall opinion on the direction of this league when it comes to the violence and how they're trying to get the head trauma out of the league?
Well, nowadays, these guys are bigger. They're stronger.
Yeah.
They're faster. I mean, and I can understand, you know, some of the stuff they're trying to get rid of, but, you know, it's still football. I mean, it started football when you was in high school, Pop Warner. Personally, I think if a kid start maybe 1 or 2 years at Pop Warner, then go to high school, then college level, that'll help out a lot. It's tough, you know, to sit up and watch a game where you can't even breathe on a quarterback, you know, because of my position, you know, you want to tear his head off.
Right, absolutely.
But, you know, but you can't control a person that trying to be real good at tackling or being aggressive. I mean, you know, just want to make a play, and, you know, you can't stop that. I mean, sometimes you just can't stop yourself from hitting somebody in the head or trying to make a great tackle.
Reggie, I appreciate you doing this. You got autographs to sign, a big commitment coming out here, but getting a chance to get to know you over the years, especially at the alumni event up in Napa. Really good to see you again. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You got it.
Go Raiders.
You got it. Go Raiders. Reggie Kinlaw joining us, a 2-time Super Bowl champ. When we come back, we'll talk to Rod Martin, who played, I believe, the greatest game ever by a Raider defensive player in a Super Bowl. 3 interceptions in a Super Bowl by a linebacker. You will never see that again. We'll talk to Rod Martin, and also Lincoln Kennedy will join us over the phone. One of the great offensive linemen, 3-time Pro Bowler for the Silver and Black. Come on down to Poncho's. We're filling up. We got plenty of room. The margaritas are amazing. The food's outstanding. The home of the Raider Nation is Poncho's.
Vegas is Raider fans from both Southern California and Northern California have always traveled well. When we were down in L.A., the fans from Oakland traveled down there. When we were up in Oakland, there are people from L.A. that travel up there every week. Now, the people from L.A. will travel to Vegas by car, And hopefully there'll be a group from Oakland. And I know Mark has made that a point of emphasis to give them the first opportunity to buy tickets in the same area and be a part of it.
Howie Long, the Hall of Famer who will be inducted into the Gridiron Greats later on this month, right across the street in Red Rock. JT, back with you. We're at Poncho's in downtown Summerlin for this Raider Nation Cinco de Mayo party. One of the greatest Raiders of all time joins us. Two-time Super Bowl champion, a two-time Pro Bowler, a first-team All-Pro, three interceptions in the Super Bowl. The great Rod Martin joins us. Rod, thanks for doing this.
JT, it's a pleasure, man. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. And you've been coming to Vegas on and off throughout your adult life. But Poncho's in Manhattan Beach is where you first heard the name of this brand. And it was a good time back in the day, huh?
That's where it all started, brother, for sure. Back in the day, we were the L.A. Raiders. And we would have Thursday nights where we have camaraderie night. And so we, you know, the offensive players, defensive players, we even took the kickers. We all go out on Thursday night, have camaraderie. We hit a couple of spots on the way to Poncho's. And then we ended up having a great time at Poncho's. And, you know, that was what grew us closer together, I think. The camaraderie that we had, the watching out each other's backs and stuff. Nothing ever happened while we were together as a group like that.
What was that like back in the day in L.A. when you bring that many players to such a big establishment? I mean, the booze is flowing. It's a fun time. You guys need to let off some steam. But also the fans have an opportunity to interact with
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. We wish the fans would be there when we got in there. So once we got in there and we knew they were in there and it's time for us to turn it up, as they say nowadays, to turn it up, and we just had a great time, man. And we included them into it as well. You know, that's how the booster clubs grew and grew and grew, because the Raider players of that era went out, and we, you know, went out and had meetings with them, and we also went out and had fun with them.
So it was a brotherhood. You guys really got along great.
Absolutely.
And proved that with your play on the field. Rod Martin is our guest. Rod, I wanted to ask you about, we just heard John Gruden who joined us, and he's just jumping through the microphone.
Yes.
He really made some bold decisions in that draft. They got an offensive lineman early, but then he got two defensive tackles. They got this pass rusher, Arden Key. It just seems like Gruden thought there was a priority to get these young defenders in who can instantly make plays.
We've always knew that you have to start with the offensive line when you want to score some touchdowns. And no doubt you have to have – when I came in, we had Art Shell, Gene Upshaw, Dave Dalby, you know, Henry Lawrence, talented individuals. And, you know, that's how an offense should be made, offensive line should be made with guys of that caliber and that ability, you know. And so – and then you go back to defensively – you know, everybody knows the defensive line has the ones that put the pressure on everybody, you know, on the offense and the quarterback. And the defensive backs and the linebackers, they intercept balls and stuff. So, you know, you have to have that togetherness, cohesiveness, just, you know, be concentrating on what you have to do as a team. You got to cover your teammates' back, and that's what we did a lot.
Rod Martin is our guest, one of the greatest writers of all time. I got to ask you, I was on Facebook the other day, and they had a video on Ted Hendricks, and it was his all-time greatest plays. And he was dropping 30 yards back into coverage, intercepting plays, blocking kicks, and doing all that. And you and your style to cover the pass at the linebacker position. The Raiders haven't had this forever, Rod. I can't believe how difficult it's been for this team. Jack Del Rio tried as a former linebacker. Ken Norton Jr. was let go. Now they brought in Paul Gunther. Why is it so difficult today to find a hybrid linebacker that can stop the run and also cover the pass?
That's a good question, JT. I really don't know. I wish I could go and give some experience to the guys, be a coach in some scenarios. But the thing is that you have to be a student of the game of football. You know, you got to study the plays. You got to see who you're going against every week. You got to make sure that you know what's happening when it's coming. The play is coming to you. You have to make a split decision. You can't sit there and think about it. You got to make a decision right away. I don't see that happening a lot. You know, a lot of guys going there and they sacrifice their body. That's fine, but do it at the right time. You can't sacrifice your body and a lineman is coming to you. You got to read the line of what's going to happen. You stand over tight end. This is what we always did. And I learned from Ted Hendricks. I learned from, you know, the guys, the other great guys that was with me as well. And if I saw a tight end over me and he dropped down, he went down to block the, you know, the end of somebody, I knew something was coming at me. And it's got to be a split second, man. And I'd attack that cat and I would make that something that happened. He had to do something that he didn't want to do.
Rod Martin, as we wrap it up, the Raiders go out and sign one of the great linebackers of the last 13 years in Derek Johnson. Does that signal a cause for concern for you that they have to get an aging great player, or the fact that Gruden and Reggie saw something where that was a massive need? This is a guy who will line up those linebackers correctly and is so fundamentally sound.
A massive need, first of all. You know, I mean, everybody knows defense wins championships, no doubt about it. But bringing the linebacker in there like Derek, I think it's going to be a great thing for the organization. Just like Navarro was last year, you know, smart, know where to be, coming in and you make the calls and stuff. You got to be a great player. I don't care how old you are to make those decisions on the field. Charlie Sumner was our defensive coordinator. I was one of the captains of the team. He made sure that, you know, we knew what we had to do out there every week in and week out. He gave me the opportunity to change the play if it wasn't the right play that we thought was going to be ran.
You like that. You like the opportunity to change the play.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. You know, the players are on the field. The coaches are not. So, you know, we got to make sure we're going to do the right thing out there on that field and blast it up.
One more thing. Walk us through the 24 hours of your greatest performance in Super Bowl 15. Leading up to the game, the three interceptions, and we always talk about social life and the party afterwards. So take me through warm-ups, game day, and why you felt you were prepared to play the greatest game of your life in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, first of all, JT, we're in New Orleans. Everybody knows what goes on in New Orleans, you know. Well, we played, we practiced. We had the best practice at that stadium, that that college stadium that we ever had the whole year. Okay, so we always focus. Tom told us, you know, we're going out here to have fun, but we have to handle the business in hand. And so we went out there with the attitude, and that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to go out there. So, you know, Tom said, you know, I'm going to let you go out and have a good time, but, you know, when it's time to get down to business, we got to take care of business. He didn't have a curfew like that other team had the whole week.
No curfew. The Saturday night before, the Friday leading up to that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You know, wow. And with Matuzak out there, nobody could miss him.
Right.
Telling the press that, you know, he's out there making sure his teammates going to be in their rooms, you know, for the curfew. So that kind of camaraderie and what we had going on at the time, man, it was something that was real positive. The energy was there the whole time and did a lot of film work. And before the game, we used to play this game called Crazy Eights. Ted Hendricks, Jeff Barnes, and myself. We played Crazy Eights and would nobody ever win three in a row. That day, I won three in a row.
Incredible.
So I went out and I was just really focused, man. And, you know, they talked about the tight ends, how good they were, and you know, and then one tight end was Rick Walker, who played at UCLA when I was at SC. And John Madden Summerall asked me the night before. They said, "Well, what do you think of the tight ends?" I said, "You know, Cutfley, he blocks. Mm-hmm. The other one runs out for passes." I said, "Rick Walker and I played against each other when we were in college." I said, "He didn't block me while I was at SC. He wasn't going to block me in the Super Bowl." And when I stuffed him at that time, actually, it was in the other game, but that's another story.
So did you read Jaworski's eyes?
Jaworski, yeah. I mean, it was consistently. They had two tight ends where one of the tight ends, of course, would stay in the block and the other one go out as a pass receiver. So I was had a man-to-man. That's my job, to have a man-to-man. So when I think it was Crepley went out and he tried to do an out on me, and I saw it and I just stepped in front of him, Brick, and took my second one away from him, you know. And then the third one was like, the one to send everybody home. It was like they were trying to pass, at the end of the game and down the middle. And we had a prevent kind of defense, and I was an inside backer. And
why not you? Why not you catch that one to make it three?
You know?
Hey, Rod, you got a lot of friends here, family here. Yeah. This fan base, as we wrap it up in a minute, what does the Raider fans mean to you? Because there's a lot going on now. They're coming here in 2 years.
Yes.
There's Oakland. You're really connected in L.A. The expectations of the Raider Nation coming to Vegas.
You know, in L.A., people there are excited about it, no doubt. I mean, we've been wanting to try to have a new stadium bricked since when I started playing,
even before.
And so to have the offer that Las Vegas did for them, and then when you have one of the 32 owners vote to go to Las Vegas, that's telling us something, that they see something here that's going to be good for the organization, and I think it's going to work out well for us.
I have a feeling it's going to be good for you, too.
Yes, it is. I hope so, too.
You'll love it. Thanks for doing this, Rod.
Hey, good seeing you.
You got it. There he is, the great Rod Martin, one of the all-time great Raiders, live at Poncho's as we are here in downtown Summerlin. We are here throughout the rest of the day through the Kentucky Derby. The happy hour coming up from 2 to 5 p.m. The food is amazing. Mariachis, the great Mexican specialty dishes. You will love it today. And the shot specials are flowing all day. $6.95 for the Poncho's signature margaritas. Come on out and join us. Hour number two coming up next. Thanks to John Gruden, the great Rod Martin. And how about that, Reggie Kinwa. We'll talk to Lincoln Kennedy coming up and Michael Gelkin on the other side. JT the Brick, live from Poncho's.